From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Morning, Mike.
Tell you what, I opened up those numbers this morning on the dairy trade and I was very pleasantly surprised.
A perky old number, wasn't it, eh? Yeah. A perky number. Yeah, good outcome, actually. So expectations, this is the global dairy trade auction overnight. And
futures were down, though, weren't they?
Absolutely they were. So this is a good outcome. You know, the concerns were that it was going to be considerably worse than what we saw, and particularly for those important commodities, whole milk powder, skim milk powder, and they both had stable outcomes. So look, at a headline level, the global dairy trade price index was still down 0.8%, so still in negative territory broadly. But if you look at butter, buttermilk powder and cheddar, they were very weak. So butter and buttermilk powder down 5.8, down 10.3, cheddar down as well. But if we look globally, butter and butter related products have really tanked recently in the US and in Europe. So not unexpected that we'd see weakness there. And that's what contributed to the negative headline number. But skim milk powder, whole milk powder, both rose 0.1%. Look, it's not particularly strong, but as you very rightly point out, the futures were indicating quite a significant, you know, probably 4 to 5% fall. So we'll take that. That's wonderful. A little bright note in otherwise troubled time.
Exactly. Now, what happens with the dwelling consents? Talk to me about that, because I'm not surprised to see them down, because nothing's going on, obviously. But I mean, part of it is what happens next, isn't it?
That's dead right. So we got data out of Stats yesterday, New Zealand dwelling consents. Quick point, though, Mike. We are going to see disruption in some of these numbers out of Stats over the course of the next few weeks. But we've got the dwelling consents, yes. Now, so if we need a baseline for what's going to happen over the coming months, you might have to look at February, because March actually did pick up the beginning of the more restrictive level 4 lockdown. So we lost some days in March. But if we look at, and that shows up in the figure, so seasonally adjusted dwelling consents fell 21% in March. You broaden the lens a bit, you go out to sort of 12-month view, still see the strength that we saw over the last 12 months, that's up 9%. But I think, what do we take from this, Mike? So what does it mean going ahead? And it means there is a good pipeline of work as we come out of lockdown for the construction centre, which is encouraging, because we need those potential, those pockets of potential activity. But the question is, what does the sector look like? So, you know, and how do they actually deal with it? So think about productivity with the safe working conditions. How much does that slow the process down? And how long do those work conditions last? Sort of dwelling consents might also speak to the sort of supply side of the equation. We've got to sort of try and think about what's going to happen to the demand side of the equation. And will those dwelling consents all convert to actual dwelling construction?
All right. Now, Philip Lowe out yesterday. I think he met market expectations, didn't he, in not moving?
Yeah, very much so. So no change to the official cash rate in Australia, which was what was expected. But what we really wanted to see was what was their view of the world. Because remember, our Reserve Bank steps up to the plate next week. So lots of interest in the world, and what did they say? So they've got a whole lot of assumptions. Their baseline assumption for 2021 is that inflation sits between 1% and 1.5%. So very low inflation. Remember, here in New Zealand, our central bank targets the midpoint of 1 to 3. That's going to be a challenge across the Tasman to get inflation up. It's going to be a challenge here as well. They also warned that financial market conditions haven't normalized yet. We look at their view on output, so think growth. They view that to fall by 10% in the first half of the year, 6% over the year as a whole. That was a little bit higher, if I look at the year as a whole, than our expectations for New Zealand. They also baseline scenario for unemployment peaking at 10%, similar to New Zealand, but it lingers still at 7% by the end of next year. But just very quickly, Mike, just encouraging to hear talk of that Tasman economic bubble, the safe zone. That's great. The only question I've got is, will that require robust and compatible contact tracing to be in place in both countries?
And where is ours?
Yeah, and that could be a bit of a hurdle.
Good on you. What have we got by numbers?
Yeah, it's looking good, actually, overnight. The Dow Jones, 24,125, up 375 points, 1.6%. 2,893 on the S&P 500, up 50, 1.7%. And the Nasdaq on fire, up 2.16% at 8,899. Overnight, the FTSE 100 also rallied, 5,849, up 1.66%. The Nikkei, that they were down yesterday, but they were playing a bit of catch-up because they've been shut, closed at 19,619, down 574. Shanghai Composite still, as far as I can see, not trading. The ASX 200, 5407, gained 87 yesterday, up 1.64%. Quiet down the NZX 50 yesterday in terms of movements. We were up 0.14%, closing at 10,490. On the currencies, a little bit of strength on the Kiwi dollar. On the wholesale markets, against the US, 0.6063, against the Aussie, 0.9398, 0.5592 euro, 0.4873 against the pound, 64.56 yen. Gold, $1,704.77, so that's up 2%, so positive movement there for gold. And Brent crude, here we go, it's up, up $3.29, $30.50.
Jeez, fill up quick.
Optimism abounds, Mark.
All right, mate, we'll see you tomorrow. Appreciate it very much. Andrew Kelleher and the expertise at jmiwealth.co.nz.